just talked about it. Eventually, Caden's going to do the intro. We're working on this. It's going to be one of our New Year's. It's going to be one of our New Year's resolutions here. But for right now, I'm going to bring the intro at us. We were just downstairs. We've been really busy with life and activities and work and business and all these different things. So I think our last pod was just before the New Year, right? And now we're sitting at...
It was Christmas, before Christmas.
No, it wasn't before Christmas.
Yeah, it was.
No. Definitely was not. I think it was like the day before New Year's Eve or something. It couldn't have been that long ago. We'll have to look back.
I know it was Christmas.
We will look back and see. I'll check Spotify and Apple and I'll see what date was posted for that. But anyway, we've been a little busy. So now, basically, you might be right because when I think back, the pick six, Uncle Clint did the pick six. He went 3-3. And then we had to throw out our picks. Now, in the pick six, the last week, the way the pool works is that in the last week, you pick all the games. And I just went through and picked them because we hadn't really talked because we all been busy with stuff. So I went 9-7 in the final week. It's just really hard to pick the final week with the different teams. The lines are all over the place. And the way that that works in the pool is the person with the most wins in that week wins the what would normally be, you'd have to be 6-0 for. So I think somebody went 12-4. That was the best record. A couple of people might have done that. And you know what? We finished. At least we had 1-6-0. For the pick six season, and we didn't. We ended up, I think, maybe 8 or 10 games below 500, something like that. So it was not a very good picking year. But we're going to make a prediction that we're going to be in the top 10 next year. Our record is going to be in the top 10. We're going to use the same system we used this year. I think somebody's going to have a couple of 6-0s. We're going to be in really good shape. So that's the end of the pick six. Here we're going to have a little NFL MVP debate. Uncle Clint's not here with us. It's just me and Caden. Of course, we're going to hear from him. I mean, no matter what, we're going to hear from him. He's going to be telling us about Lamar Jackson. He's going to be coming at us with some of his thoughts, regardless of when he does it. It's coming. We're going to look at the first round of the NFL playoff games, and we are going to talk a little bit about the two Heisman candidates and their performances. Hunter obviously won the Heisman, and then Genty was the runner-up. They had their bowl game performances. We're going to touch on that for a minute. And then we're adding a new segment. Now that the pick six is over, we're adding a new segment to the show. I'm going to talk briefly about that. So it's the sports life. We're talking sports. Let's go. All right, Caden. You saw the text string between me and Uncle Clint. You saw it. We were, you know, it's funny because with my brother, all I got to do, I know his hot buttons. So I could just send three words and just get him going on a tangent. So just out of nowhere, I was bored for a minute. I just said, Josh Allen, clear MVP. Right away, I get all, how is it clear? How can he be the clear MVP? Lamar's got better stats. Lamar's got this. Lamar's got that. And then I just kept coming back simple. A key stat, he's not leading in his wins, I would say. And then he, if all you look at is wins, then, you know, Mahomes is the MVP. And he just, you know, so I'm constantly just giving him a little short stuff. And then I'm kind of baiting him into going off because we all know that he doesn't like Josh Allen for some absolute unknown reason. But for me, you know, a lot of people are saying that because Lamar has won the last, you know, or he's won, I think he's won two already. They're stating that because he hasn't, you know, had the performances in the playoffs and so forth, that the league might kind of fix this and make sure Lamar doesn't get this one. I personally just don't think Lamar deserves this MVP. And I know that Lamar's numbers are better. He has 40-plus touchdowns. I think he's rushed for like 900 yards. He's only got like 4 or 5 interceptions. His numbers are great. But for me, Josh Allen is the MVP this year. I think that people that think Lamar is don't watch enough football. What I mean by that is that Josh is doing more with less. James Cook is a good football player, but James Cook is not Derrick Henry. Cook did not run for, I don't think he ran for 1,000 yards this year.
Maybe he could have if he got the ball more.
I don't disagree. I think Cook's a good player, but he's not Derrick Henry. So he didn't have a 1,000-yard rusher, and if he did, he would have got it in the last week, which I don't think Cook played a lot. And then he didn't have a 1,000-yard wide receiver either. I'm pretty sure Lamar Jackson had a 1,000-yard wide receiver. I think Flowers was. He also has got two very top tight ends with, you know, Andrews and Likely are pretty good tight ends. They compete with Kincaid and Knox pretty well. The wide receiving core, I mean, Shakir's a good wide out, but Allen doesn't really have much there. Allen led in some really
Keon Coleman.
Keon Coleman's a rook. He's a big play guy, but again, he's young, man. I mean, that's not a guy you're going to get a lot out of in his rookie season. He had some big plays. But really, I think Lamar's got more to work with, especially with another player on his own team that can be in the MVP discussion. You're talking about King Henry. I mean, that's Uncle Clint's guy. And that's when I think I finally got Uncle Clint off the Lamar thing when I said, what about King Henry? I mean, Josh don't have that particular running back in his stable. So the main things for me with Josh Allen, I'll give you a couple points. I might get three in. Number one is that the Bills beat the best two teams in football. The Bills beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They gave them their only loss. And they also beat the Detroit Lions, and I think the Detroit Lions only had two losses on the season. So right there, on the Chiefs actually, and the Chiefs lost two games because they threw away the final game. So right there, they're given the best teams in the league, the best games. They beat them. Josh Allen also rushed for 12, 13 touchdowns, something like that. Lamar Jackson only rushed for three or four. That's a big number. And when you look at Josh Allen, who only rushed for probably half the yards that Lamar – quit swinging the mic around, please. That only rushed for maybe half the yards as Lamar, he ran for three times as many touchdowns, and he ran for more first downs. I mean, Josh Allen is a very efficient runner with the football. When you see your quarterback tuck it and run, you want to see two things. You want to see touchdowns, and you want to see first downs. Another factor that was not mentioned for Lamar – outside of the fact that his team had a worse record than Josh Allen's, is that Lamar puts the ball on the grass a lot. And you can look the number up. It's out there. I think he fumbled 8 or 9 times this year. He lost 4 or 5 of those, where Josh Allen only put the ball on the turf one time, and I don't think he lost that. So those are winning-type statistics that might not show up in, oh, how many touchdown passes you threw and things like that. The last thing I'll mention in favor of Josh is that Josh played in some really, really rough weather games. And those games don't really bode well.
The Ravens have it?
No, they really haven't. They haven't played in the same kind of rough weather games where you're watching TV and they're shoveling off the, you know, the lines to make sure. Those are not games that favor 40-plus point games. So I think those can compress your stats a little bit. The Ravens don't play in great weather, don't get me wrong. But Buffalo's got, in my opinion, Buffalo's probably got the worst weather in the league. So those are my thoughts, man. Do you have a position on this? I mean, I've argued against people who said Burrow. I had a funny argument with somebody about Burrow, guy in my office. He said, you know, Burrow's the MVP. What would they be without Burrow? I go, well, they wouldn't make the playoffs. Oh, yeah, that's right. They didn't make the playoffs anyway. So, again, I think Burrow's awesome. I like Burrow. I think he's great. I think that he is an MVP quality football player, quarterback. But this year, it's not in the conversation. He was, you know, he had some shortcomings earlier in the year. The Bengals got in a hole that they couldn't climb out of, and he has been fantastic since then. But the mobility element that Lamar and Allen give you, I mean, it puts those two guys at the top right now, especially this season. Obviously, you still take Mahomes if you got to pick one guy. But in terms of this year, those guys really stood out. What do you think?
I think you also have to consider Ja'Marr Chase for MVP. I mean, did he win the Triple Crown, or was he short?
He did. I think he won it.
I mean, he won the Triple Crown. I mean, I know that the MVP is a very quarterback-friendly, but when you look at, like, guys like Chase and Saquon and even Henry, I think you got to consider those guys. And the MVP is supposed to be the most valuable player, not the most valuable quarterback. And I feel like, you know, you got to have a really good season if you're not a quarterback to win the MVP. And I don't know. I feel like if Chase or Saquon are not winning, it's gonna be hard for somebody as a non-quarterback to win it.
I think they created the offensive player of the year for those guys, for Saquon this year, for McCaffrey last year, and even Saquon's probably gonna get it ahead of Chase, and Chase is gonna be sitting here with like a 1,700 plus 16 touchdown, you know, 120 catch season with not an award to show for it, which stinks. But that's what I think they did.
And also, I feel like, you know, the MVP is called the most valuable player. And, you know, I feel like even when you look at Mahomes, like, you just saw what happens with the Chiefs if Mahomes is not there. Like, the Chiefs get blown. I know they sat out of the stars, but still, like, I know Mahomes did not have a good year, but I think you're talking about the most valuable player. And even, like, Saquon, like, it hurts. Like, we saw last year what Hurts did without, like, a very good running game. And then Saquon came in, and now they're now they're in the playoffs, and even the Ravens have like a comfort zone a little bit with Henry and not putting all the pressure on Lamar Jackson. So I'm thinking that it's gonna be a quarterback. We all know that it's gonna be a quarterback award. But I'm just talking about, it's not the best player, it's the most valuable player, and I think you gotta you also look at numbers, but I also feel like you gotta look at also who's playing the most effect on a team. I'm not saying that's not Josh Allen. I'm just saying that.
When you're dealing with the all-time greats, talking about Patrick Mahomes, who might be the greatest of all time at the position in football, you're talking about guys like that, there's always going to be an argument for them for MVP. I mean, there was probably a stretch of LeBron's career where he was the best player in the league for probably 10 consecutive years. And Jordan the same. I mean, those guys, you know, you had guys get MVPs from LeBron where, you know, guys like Malone got them from Jordan. And this just happens to the guys that are like the GOATs, you know, the top guys in the game. So Mahomes, that argument can always be made. So when his stats aren't there, they're just not going to give it to him. And when his stats return, you'll probably see Mahomes secure, you know, a couple more MVPs. So those are my thoughts. I mean, yeah, you're right. Those offensive player of the year thoughts are great. I think that unfortunately, you know, the award has become a quarterback award, but that's what the league is. I mean, if you don't have a good quarterback, you don't win, and that's just a fact. I mean, you can look back at the last 25 Super Bowls and think to yourself, every once in a while you end up with a Trent Dilfer, and by the way, the guy's playing with probably a top three defense in the history of the NFL. That's what you need. You need like a top all-time defense if you're going to win with a below-average QB in this league. The quarterback is just the most important position on the field, and it's just not going to change. So anyway, that's our little MVP thing. When we get Uncle Clint on, me and him will go to war on it a bit. The funny thing about it is by the time we have him on, we're going to be through the first week of these NFL playoff games. And for certain, something's going to go haywire here. I mean, we'll bring him up. That's kind of the next part of the show here is that we're talking about these games. And when I get to the game in question, I'm going to tell you how by the time we're talking about Lamar versus Josh again, we could be all over the place. I mean, we could be talking about Lamar with another choke out. We'll see what happens. But again, they're playing the Steelers. They're favored by 9.5 points. He's got King Henry. As far as I know, the team is relatively healthy.
Well, Zay Flowers is out, though.
The Ravens defense has been playing much better than they did earlier in the season. The stars are aligning for the Ravens. If that game is tight, that's a divisional-type game. If that game's tight late, I want to see what happens. I want to see, is Lamar going to put it away, or is he going to make a big mistake? And they got to cover 9.5 points in that game. That means they're a huge favorite. I like the Steelers to win outright, saying it. I think the Lamar thing in the postseason is real. I think he's going to fall apart. We will see what happens.
Also, when you look at Lamar choking, he's also always won the first game, I believe. So, again, I think the Steelers...
But you think he's won a lot of the first-round playoff games?
Well,
he's got playoff wins, for sure.
Last year. But I also feel like the Steelers have no confidence going into this game. I think they should start Justin Fields because Russell Wilson, I mean, he's not doing horrible, but at the end of the day, he's not getting wins. I mean, I think he played good last week. I think that, you know, George Pickens dropped three balls, Freiermuth dropped, so, like, there was not a lot of help from the receivers, but I just feel like a change of things. Like, if you're Mike Tomlin, like, the Ravens are preparing for Wilson, you go with Justin Fields, like they're not going to be ready for that.
You're not going to see Justin Fields. Let me tell you, Justin Fields, the Steelers haven't even been finding opportunities to use him in a gimmick role. And that's kind of the whole strategy behind Justin Fields is to be able to put him into a gimmick-type role where you can bring him in on third down, do kind of an RPO run-pass option in Najee Harris. And I saw Fields do that a couple times earlier in the year. So those types of opportunities are there. They're just not doing it. The confidence in Fields is basically zero. Honestly, I don't think that Tomlin has all that much confidence in Russ either. And the reason that I say that is because he's not letting Russ throw the football. I mean, Russ throws a good deep ball. He always has. And when you watch those games, those guys are doing the old run on first, run on second, third and seven, and then have to make a big play. And it's not working out for them. Hey, dude, hang on a second. Kaden, you've left twice. I'm carrying this thing. You can't keep leaving and coming back. Like, it's just me and you here.
I know. I thought I left the garage door open. I was making sure it was shut.
All right, that's fine. But you can't just keep stepping away in the middle of the pod, man. This is just me and you.
Why do you not have any waters in the fridge?
I'm responsible for putting waters in the fridge.
No, I'm not.
You're the one that lives down here in the basement, practically.
No.
I think you would know if there's needs to be water placed in the fridge. And if you want to go get it, I'm sure you'll just leave for like a third or fourth time of the pod.
No.
When we're only going to do probably a 25-30 minute pod here. But anyway, going back to that, again, those games, it's going to be determined early. If that game stays close and that game is played dirty, that's the one the Ravens got to watch out for. If they start off hot and they go get themselves a nice lead, I'm sure they'll be fine. They'll get through the first round. But I get a feeling that's a divisional-type game. Tomlin's going to figure a way to make that dirty and keep it close. And I think that's dangerous territory for Lamar Jackson. All right, let's talk about the other games. We got the Chargers favored by 3 against the Texans.
I got the Chargers.
You think the Chargers all day? I don't even care about the line. We're just going to go money line. We're just talk straight up.
Yeah, Chargers.
Talk straight up picks, who we're thinking. You know, I had a small wager on the Texans to start off the season. It was like a $10 deal at plus 1600 or something like that. And because they were loading up, didn't they pick up the guy from the Vikings as well? Isn't Danielle Hunter on them?
So no,
the,
yeah.
No, Danielle
Hunter. Yeah,
Danielle Hunter. They had these edge rushers looked awesome. They had Tank Dell, Diggs, Collins, Mixon. I mean, when you look at that team on paper with C.J. Stroud coming back from a – you know, basically a rookie season where he just looked phenomenal. That was really the big change, was that Stroud just didn't have the same look this year. He looked like he went through a bit of a sophomore slump, and he never really was able to come out of that. Then they had the injuries to a couple of key wide receivers, and it never really came together for them. So I'm with you, man. I think that Harbaugh's a good coach. He's going to have a good, you know, he's going to have a good strategy in this game. I think the Chargers are going to win that. I don't know if they'll cover. I mean, I think they'll cover the 3. But
well, the Texans don't really deserve it. I mean, their division's absolutely horrible. So the Texans had a lot of up and downs. I mean, they lost Tank Dell. They lost. Did they lose?
Diggs is out, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think Nico Collins is still playing.
Yeah, Nico's back in there, but he was out for a while.
I mean, when you look at both teams, I mean, the Texans have home field advantage, which is really important. But I mean, the Chargers really, really worked hard to be in this situation. I mean, Harbaugh's definitely. It's a big reason why they're there, but also I feel like, you know, I mean, they were barely even like a contender in the playoffs. I mean, they weren't even close to the playoffs last year, and now this year they're a team where I think they could upset, or I wouldn't say upset, but beat the Texans. I'm just not impressed with the Texans. I feel like I kind of feel like everyone's underperforming, and I think they got away with a couple of things this year by their division being bad and the way that, you know, I wouldn't say they had a light schedule, but they had some things go their way. But I think injuries and just guys have just fallen apart. Also, Stroud not playing the best. Mixon's getting older. And I feel like the fresh legs of the Chargers are going to win that game.
Mixon started the year lightning, man. He looked awesome. And then I think as you saw the wide receivers start to have some injury trouble, then the other team started kind of loading up a little more against Mix. Mix has still got the capabilities to have a really strong year, and I think he did have a good year. I'm sure he was
–
I didn't look at his final numbers, but he scored a lot of touchdowns. He was a solid back.
He started to be the main guy. And when he's – and going later in the year, like when you're getting older and you're the main guy because all your wide receivers are injured – it's kind of hard to keep up with that.
I agree with that. And to that point, when I talked about the Ravens, I think you started to see him slow a little bit late in the year. Again, he was strong. He broke over 17. I think he was over 1,900 yards. I mean, he was awesome. But I also think, like, he's over 30. I think he's 31 now. Is he going to be able to keep taking the pounding all the way through the postseason? You don't know. I mean, it's a question mark. And again, I think he did slow down a little bit.
And also, I feel like it would also help if they had like some backup. Like when you look at the Ravens last year, I mean, they had like 3 good running backs, and I keep complaining why they didn't use them like more against the Chiefs when they had Justice Hill, Gus Edwards, and they even picked up Dalvin Cook. Where I'm surprised they didn't use him a lot because he was still pretty valuable. Well, Derrick Henry. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Is Gus Edwards still?
No, they still use Gus Edwards is in.
Chargers,
they still use Justice Hill more as a kind of a gimmicky.
Neither Hill or Edwards are on the Chargers.
No, Justice Hill is on the Ravens. Gus Edwards is on the Chargers.
Okay.
And the other guy, both backs from the Ravens last year are now with the Chargers. J.K.
Dobbins
and Edwards are both with the Chargers.
Is he injured?
He got injured. He started the year pretty good. He had a decent run.
He tore his ACL like twice, I think, or something.
All right, let's keep going through these games. We got the Broncos and the Bills. The Bills favored by 8.
Yeah, I got the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, Bills straight up there. I mean, you know, you look at that, and in terms of the quarterback matchup, you think it's Josh Allen against, like, kind of a poor man's Josh Allen, right?
Well, like, the thing that I think separates between the Bills and, like, the team like the Ravens, where I feel like the Bills, especially against any team, I feel like they have, like, the opportunity to, like, even though Lamar Jackson has probably better players to throw it to, I feel like the Bills have a better chance to, like, just take things, like, just let the game just get out of hand. I feel like the Ravens don't have that ability just like to blow a team out. I feel like, and when you look at the Ravens and the Bills playing two very good teams with two very good coaches, with Tomlin and Sean Payton, I feel like Tomlin, both coaches can find ways to keep close into games, and I feel like the Bills can find ways to still, with Sean Payton's coaching with the Broncos, find ways to for the Bills to, you know, win. But for the Ravens,
why do you keep going back to the Ravens? The Ravens, we're done.
I'm saying the Ravens.
I know what you're saying. But the question is, based on what you're saying, is do you think that Peyton's going to be able to keep this game close?
Yeah.
As from a coaching strategy? Because exactly. You're saying you think the Bills can blow them out, or do you think they're going to keep it close?
I think they're going to blow them out. I just feel like, you know, when you're looking at the Broncos, this is a very young team, and I think with young teams, when your back's against the wall in bad weather, and again, I think people just don't understand that it's very hard to play in Buffalo. I mean, it's cold, windy, and then it's cold, windy, good fans, and then at the end of the day, you're still facing the Buffalo Bills. And I feel like I'm personally thinking the only reason why, this is nothing against Bo Nix, but if he's anywhere else, I'm not sure if he's this good. But also, I feel like Sean Payton's used every player to the best of their abilities.
That's true. Bo Nix had a phenomenal season.
And yeah, I just don't think they're going to have consistent playmakers at the offensive end.
And Bo Nix got better as the year went on. I think one thing that hurts Denver is they really don't have a consistent running game. And I think when it comes to the postseason, you got to have a consistent running game. We haven't really seen that out of them. So I think that, again, if Josh has a terrible game, we all know what we're going to be talking about on this pod if that happens. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think the Bills are going to keep rolling. I think they're going to look good, and I think they're going to roll past the Broncos. We got the Packers, Eagles. Eagles favored by 4.5.
The Packers, the Bears absolutely crushed the Packers. I'm not talking about
crushed the Packers.
I'm saying they crushed.
Man, did we have fun with them?
The Packers are like, I've heard like the Packers are like crushed. Like Christian Watson tore his ACL. Jordan Love is banged up.
The only outlier there, or the only factor that we don't know, is Hurts has been banged up. And if Hurts plays, I say the Eagles take that game. I don't know that. I think they're going to win that game by a field goal. I don't think the Eagles cover in that game, but I do like the
Eagles
to beat the
Packers.
Without Christian
Watson, who's like the best wide receiver for the Packers? Like when you look at options, I mean, I don't know.
Packers are just a strange team.
I know
team.
They got Romeo Dobbs. They got that other guy. I'm not sure what his name is, but. They have Kraft.
That's a scary game. I think that's going to be a close game.
I feel like I've heard that there's some frustration, and there's been a lot of banged up players from the Packers. So,
well, there's a lot of frustration when the Chicago Bears come and get you. That was a crazy game, man, with the field goal, and then they kept the greatest part about that game. Not to sidebar too much, but the greatest part about that game was when the announcer says, every Bears fan is wondering right now, how can the Bears screw this up? Next play, after the guy said it, next play, a throw out to DJ Moore, and he does some weird move and literally just puts the ball on the turf, and we fumble the football. Like, we were in a spot where if we got a first down, the game's over. Fumbles the football.
Yeah.
Green Bay gets a field goal, and then we come back and get a field goal.
It just kind of seems like nothing like goes their way. Like we have that, and then we have like a line drive kick that looks like any other team.
You talking about the Packers guy's kick? Oh my god, that thing didn't look like it got 12 feet off the ground.
Any other team that kick is gonna get blocked, but somehow against the Bears, like it like stayed alive and somehow it barely gets over the goalpost.
I think this is a sign of things to come for the Bears. Taking out the Packers there. Caleb, if there's one thing you can say on the positive end for sure, is that he was a strong guy late in games. Like, he really looked good in fourth quarters. If you look at his numbers for the season, he was strong in the fourth. Again, a lot of that's trying to come back from holes, but he really did manufacture some good late game stuff with some big throws and big moments. And if he can learn and we can position him in an offense that's a little more quick fire, where you're getting rid of balls quicker, where you got more slant routes going on, something other than the only quick route they throw is that DJ Moore step back two yards,
yeah,
throw it to him, and then he gets tackled for a 1 yard loss.
Shane Walter also called that. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's one way to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quickly, but there's a lot more ways. You see other teams do it all the time. The Bears didn't do it enough. If they can get a smart staff together, put together a good offense for him, I really think Caleb's going to be awesome. So and it was great to beat the Packers.
The play that I saw from Moore, I was pretty frustrated because usually the screen passes that don't work, at least they have like two or three blockers in front. Like DJ Moore had like absolutely, he had one blocker, and it wasn't even the cornerback that was guarding Moore. So like the cornerback had a wide open path to tackle him. Again, I'm not saying he should have fumbled. I'm also saying, you know, let Caleb, I feel like the Bears should have a little more trust in Caleb. I feel like that he started growing more and he started getting more comfortable. He started taking more shots. So I think, you know, as much as I like Vrabel, I think that Johnson can really have in sync with Caleb and have in sync with...
Forget about Vrabel. Vrabel's going to New England. That's a done deal.
I like Ben Johnson because I feel like our defense, the way they performed against the Packers was very promising, even though that, I mean, Love was injured, Watson was injured. I know that Packers fans are going to say, what if Watson and Love were back? They probably would have won, but I don't care. We still won. But I think that our defense is going to be fine. I think that this is dependent on Ryan Poles. I think we got to depend on our head coaching to worry about this offense and then depend on this defensive coordinator and Ryan Poles to add some guys, because he was so focused about the offense with Odunze and Williams. Kind of seemed like the defense, because they had a good year, he didn't even add anything. He added Austin Booker. That's about it. You got to add some other guys, especially when Brisker, he was out for like 8 weeks.
I got a new number one choice. I mean, Vrabel's out because he's going to go to New England, so I can't talk about him anymore. Everybody knows that was my number one. I also talked about Johnson and Flores. This guy's name's been getting whispered around, and I really think for the next 3-4 years of Caleb, it could be a decent fit is Carroll. I've always liked Pete Carroll.
He's too old.
He's like 72. Pete Carroll, dude, he's got great energy. I think he can still coach. I think he still wants to coach. I wouldn't mind seeing Carroll here. I mean, what are we looking at? A good 3-4 years out of him? Even if he goes and retires,
well,
like, ultimately, when do we want a Super Bowl? We want a Super Bowl within the next 3 years.
The year we just had, are we really thinking you're going to win a Super Bowl in the next 3 or 4 years?
Teams can turn it around quick, man. Look at what happened to the 49ers.
It's the Bears.
Look at what happened to the 49ers. Yeah, but it all starts there, Caden. It starts with finally hiring somebody that knows what they're doing. Pete Carroll's won a national championship. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been in the playoffs a number of times. The guy's been there. He's done that.
Yeah, he's also made the worst call in history.
He did make the worst call, which would have looked like a genius call if it would have worked, by the way. But it didn't work. It was a dumb call. I'm not going to put that on this guy's career for making one play call that didn't work out. This guy is a really good coach. He's got a good track record. His players have always liked him. I wouldn't mind seeing him here. I mean, because for me, it's not about – look, the Bears, if there's one thing you know about the Bears, we're very unlikely to have a coach for 20 years like the way the Steelers do it, or the way the Packers are able to do it, or the way – it's just unlikely for the Bears. If we could bring a guy in and give us a solid five years, I'll take it all day.
Yeah,
I'm more nervous about the coordinators. I really am.
I'm talking about the – you move Thomas Brown back to offensive coordinator, because if you don't remember
– No. Everybody's got to go, dude. Everybody's got to go. Everybody.
Or at least put him back to – I mean, passing coordinator. I mean, he was decent. Well, I'm feeling
– if you like the guy, you give him a job somewhere, but it's not
one of these times. The fastest way, if you're going to win a Super Bowl, is hire a guy like Ben Johnson. Why hire a guy like Pete Carroll and then just keep getting 3 to 4 years? I think if you hire a guy like Ben Johnson and know that this is your guy that you're going to have and that you're going to trust the process with this guy, and like, I would rather have that than have a guy that like Pete Carroll 3 to 4 years, and then if you don't win that, then you're gonna have to go through this process again.
Yeah, but here's what I'm telling you about Johnson. You don't know anything about Johnson as a head coach.
He's a G.
You only know that he's a good offensive coordinator. And I just don't know that that's a risk that I'm willing to take. Again, let me be clear about this. There's a lot of coaches that they could take that I want Johnson ahead of. So I want to be clear about that too. So I don't want Mike McCarthy. I'm going to tell you right now. Like why did we want to talk to him? What are we doing? Okay? So that's where I agree with you. I'm saying that a guy who's proven himself in the league, whose players like him, he can coach both sides of the ball. Those are the reasons. There's a lot of reasons I like Carroll. He's proven success. I don't just want a guy that's been a head coach before. I want a guy that's proven himself as a head coach.
I have one guy that I think this is going to be a sneaky pick that the Bears are going to hire. Arthur Smith.
Oh, God.
The Bears interviewed him. He had some – I mean, he was winning games with Desmond Ridder as the quarterback.
This is already a debacle. The fact that they're interviewing 15, 16 guys, you keep hearing about all these interviews, it's a debacle. There's good coaches out there. Interview Flores. Interview Johnson. Interview Carroll. Make a decision and move on. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. So this – they need to do – okay, we got to keep talking about these playoff games. Let's go. The next one is – Commanders versus the Bucks. The Bucks are favored by 3. I like the Bucks here. I really do. I think that Baker's a competitor. I think he's been playing well.
Yeah, I like the
they got some confidence going. I like them. I like them in the cover. I think the Commanders' luck has run out. We will see. The final game is the Monday Nighter. We got the Vikings and the Rams.
I got the Vikings.
The Vikings are favored by 2.5.
I just feel like the Rams are barely practicing with the Fires. They had practice off Wednesday. They barely practiced today. I heard they're going to move the game to the Cardinals Stadium because of the Fires. So I just feel like all this traveling and not practicing for the Rams is just not going to do good. And then if you move game to the Cardinals Stadium, you're going to see some more Vikings fans. So not saying, I mean, usually there's not like either the Rams or the Chargers have a huge fan base because of their stadium is just like a...
No, the reason they don't have a huge fan base is because no one's from L.A. That's why.
What?
People aren't like born and raised in L.A. It's mostly transports. So people from... Listen to what I'm telling you so you understand this. People from Southern California are typically... Like, they don't have these teams that they grow up with. Like, if me and you decided, hey, you know what? Let's go find a place in SoCal somewhere and live... Are we going to be Dodger fans?
Yeah.
No, we're going to be Cub fans, dude. We're Cub fans for life. So
I thought you were talking about.
You know what I'm saying? Even though the Dodgers do have true Dodger fans out there. But their football franchises have always struggled to have like a true.
It's easy to be a Dodger fan when you spend $1 million.
But to have a fan base out there, it's always been like 50-50. It seems like the crowd is always split almost. But I'm with you there. I think that's a really good take by you with what's going on with the Rams. And I also just think, man, what a bad beat for the Vikings. You know, Detroit gave them a pretty good whooping in that last game. But
Detroit's,
man, they had
legit, though.
I know. Detroit's really good. They had a great year, the Vikings did, and then they got to have their first playoff game on the road. That's tough. The Bears are in the best division in football, man.
Did you hear that J.J. McCarthy, Zach Fitt off the IL, IR, whatever.
Oh, is that right?
He could actually play.
Well, that's going to be interesting to see what they do there. I think... My guess is that they're going to franchise tag Sam Darnold.
I think you trade McCarthy to the Raiders.
He might get traded. Actually, I think you're more likely to see them hang on to him, franchise Darnold, see if Darnold's able to do it for another year, and then you'll ultimately at that point make a decision on...
Franchise him
so then they don't have to sign him to a long-term deal. I think they're going to have to pay him because the franchise tag on a quarterback is probably $40 million now. But they only have to commit to him for a year, and I'm not sure they want to make a long-term commitment to Darnold. That's just my guess. I think that's what they'll do. So anyway, we're going with, and we agreed on all these games. We like the Chargers. Actually, we disagree on the Ravens Steelers. I like the Steelers. I just think for some reason I get this feeling that that's a bad matchup for the Ravens in the first round.
It's going to be a close game, but when you have a team that's
I have no idea why I'm feeling this. It has to be my
Lamar. I'm just saying when you're going into a game where you've lost. How many games is it? 5 in a row?
They've been bad. They've been bad.
I don't think this is going to be Russell Wilson's fault. I mean, I have no trust in...
They can't catch. Pickens can't catch the football.
When you got a guy like George Pickens, I like him. He's exciting, but he's a mental wreck. I
totally.
Still like his mental. And then the Ravens got good DBs. Is Kyle Hamilton a cornerback.
He's a safety.
And then they have a good cornerback.
They got Humphrey.
Humphrey's going to lock him down. And then, you know, I think they're going to depend too much on quick, short passes. I feel like that's what Russell does a lot when they're down. And then the running game. I don't think Russell trusts.
Look, it's a 10-point line. The Ravens should blow them out. It's all going to be – the first quarter is going to tell the tale to me. I'm going to see if that thing's looking dirty and that thing's looking 3-0 at the end of the first quarter. I'm going to be like, look out. The Ravens could get clipped off here, get clipped early. So we disagree on that one, but I'm just kind of going rogue on that. And then we're going Bills and we're going Eagles, Bucks, and Vikings. So we'll see what happens. That's our NFL first round. I'm going to close out the Heisman talk real quick because we bounced around on that quite a bit. All right. Genty didn't have it. You know, Genty against Penn State, they had opportunities to win that game. Boise probably should have won that game. They missed multiple field goals. They had turnovers. Penn State gave them every opportunity to win. Genty even put the ball on the turf a couple times, which was very uncharacteristic for him. Penn State was really packing the box on him. He really didn't have a lot of room. But he had a couple chances to bust one, and he really didn't, you know, he wasn't able to do it. And then the other bowl game with Hunter. Only reason I'm mentioning this Heisman stuff before I give the mic to Caden here is just because I felt like, was one of those guys going to really cement this thing in their bowl game? Colorado loses, which shows that they really can't beat a good team. And then Boise, you know, Genty just didn't have that breakaway performance that, you know, would have really cemented the fact that he should have won the Heisman. So, again, nothing to add there. Caden, what do you got?
This is totally off topic, but what does arbitration mean?
Arbitration.
Because there's, like, a problem between the Cubs and Kyle Tucker. There's, like, it might go into arbitration.
Is this breaking news?
Kind of.
Arbitration, it's a little bit complicated. I don't want to talk about that on the pod in detail, but as we read into it and find out more about what's going on with that, you know, we'll cover it in more detail, but our arbitration is, you know, it's a little bit complicated. So we're not going to jump on that one right now, but we will, we're going to move on because we're going to finish with our new topic. So we are moving on. All right. This is going to be our final topic for tonight's pod. We are going to go up and finish the Penn State Notre Dame game. I don't know what the score is right now. It was 10-3 at the half. Penn State looked completely in control. They were really wearing down Notre Dame's front line. They just look like if they just keep pounding the rock that they're going to wear Notre Dame down and win that game pretty handily. But again, you never know with sports. You never know what's going to happen. It's 10-10 now. So Notre Dame was able to get in the end zone. So that game got a lot more interesting. So we're going to go up and finish that. But now that the pick six is done, we'll obviously talk about our playoff picks and our NFL picks and all that kind of stuff. The segment that we are going to add to the show for a while is going to be called the We Apologize segment. And the reason that we're adding the We Apologize segment is because we've been doing this show long enough to where we have our opinions out there on many things, some of which maybe we need to put an apology out on, some of which we may just apologize for to a fan base. We may apologize to, like, here, I'll give you an example. Uncle Clint, he's got a list of apologies that he could be coming at us with. He should be apologizing to Josh Allen for the blasphemy of saying, this guy can't get it done, this guy had an MVP season. No, let me, there. He should apologize to Frank Thomas for saying Frank Thomas shouldn't be in the Hall. He should apologize. So that's what this show's for. We can just come out and say, hey, look, I said this. I was wrong. I apologize. We got almost 70 pods on the books of things that we said. This is an opportunity for us to have some accountability or an opportunity to just be funny and just say, hey, I apologize. So for me, I'm going to start with this one. One of our early pods last year, before Aaron Rodgers got injured, I had the Jets in the Super Bowl. Let me apologize to all Jets fans, okay? You want to talk about an experiment gone wrong. They won less games with Aaron Rodgers than they did with who was the
Zach guy? Wilson.
Than they won with Zach Wilson. That team last year, the defense looked like one of the top defenses in the league. This year, didn't look like it at all. Aaron Rodgers statistically had a fine season when you look at his stats. But again, playing it safe, okay? Not making winning plays. not running the football when he had an opportunity, not being mobile, all these things. I apologize to the Jet fans because it's one of those fan bases, like being a Bears fan and really dialing into it this year, I want somebody to apologize to Bears fans. We go through it. I mean, for Bears fans that have watched this product for years and years and years, oh my God, the Jets have dealt with the same kind of stuff. Then they get this savior quarterback that's going to come into town. And the very first game, the guy is on the field for four plays, and he ruptures his Achilles, and he's out for the whole season. And then he comes back the next year, and he's 41 years old. And the New York Jets never get to see Aaron Rodgers in true Aaron Rodgers form. So on behalf of the sports life, we apologize to the New York Jets, okay? That's the kind of stuff I want to come with. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm going to give one more. I'm going to give another apology. If you think of something that you want to apologize about, like something you've said that didn't work, but here's an apology. I apologize to Lamar Jackson, who I feel sorry for you because, once again, you're going out again. You're gonna.
Why do you hate Lamar Jackson?
I actually don't hate Lamar. This just becomes part of it with me and Clint, where he wants to come against everything. He wanted to come at Josh Allen so bad, I didn't like it because a lot of the things he was explaining was actually Lamar. Josh Allen has had great playoff performances. Josh Allen has thrown for five TDs in a playoff game. Josh Allen has taken Patrick Mahomes to the wire. He can't help but that his defense couldn't stop a nosebleed in those games. He has put the performances up. Now, he hasn't been great every game, but no quarterback has in the postseason. Not every quarterback plays great every single game. So that's part of my thing. But the apology, this is kind of a joke one when I say I apologize to you because I think it's going to happen to you again for one more game. Now, next time I may be apologizing to you for real if you win two or three playoff games in a row. Uncle Clint's got the Ravens in the Super Bowl. They got the team to do it. They got the coaching. They got the personnel. Let's see what happens. Lamar's got to get it done. What do you got? You got any apologies for the record? It's easy. When you start thinking of it, I didn't really give you a lot of prep time.
I'm not going to apologize to the Packers because they suck.
No, but you got to think of, like, you may think of something you said that didn't pay. Oh, yeah, you know who else Uncle Clint's got to apologize to? He's got to apologize to Dave Roberts. See, when you come out with hot takes, then later on you're going to have apologies, right? So I apologize to the Jets fan.
Oh, I got one.
Oh, what do you got? Did you come up with a hot take?
No, but like a lot of people have.
Okay, what do you got?
I apologize to LeVar Ball because everybody doubted him, and this now his three kids are superstars. LaMelo's gonna be. Just hear me out. LaMelo's gonna
be
an all-star. Lonzo's playing great for the Bulls, and he's playing for the first time in 2 years. And his other son, he's like having like, the most
I think
popular
it's loose
song.
Usage of the word great.
He's playing great.
Anyways,
if you actually watch the Bulls.
Oh, I watch the Bulls
with
you.
I don't
even see Lonzo on the floor half the time.
He's playing 20 minutes a game.
I just said, I don't see him on the floor half the time. That's less than half the time.
When we go to the game tomorrow, I'll show you. He's a pesky player.
We are going to the game tomorrow. Interesting apology. I like that. That's a good thought. So what he's referring to, and when we put it up on the gram, we're going to put it up with this new song that Caden forced me to listen to in the car ride home. It's called Tweaker.
Yeah.
So apparently the youngest Ball, is it the youngest Ball?
I don't know.
One of the Ball brothers that hasn't made it really on the hoops end of things put out a song. The Lions had it in their locker room after their
everybody
win over the Vikings. This has been like the fastest turnaround or like the biggest blow up of a song in like the shortest period of time because of social media and things like that. Again, hard for me because when guys put this stuff out, it's hip hop and I'm a 90s hip-hop head, and the current modern stuff is really bad from my perspective outside of a few things here and there. So it's hard for me to listen to some of this stuff. This song I did listen to, it sounded really choppy. The flow was kind of garbage, but it does have some catchy things in there that work for the sports end. So I'm not going to kill it too bad, but we'll put it up
on
the
how much views it has on Apple Music.
We'll put it up on IG, see what happens. See how many downloads it's got on Spotify. But that's not bad. So that's the new segment. We apologize, okay? We're gonna have something for it every time.
What's the song called?
It's called Tweaker, I think, something like that. So, yeah, we will definitely add this. And then we are going to try to do an interview, hopefully once a month. Again, it's really hard right now. Our schedules are kind of all over the place. Caden's got different sports things that he's committed to. My business is really busy this time of year. But we're really hoping to schedule and plan some interviews, do some fun stuff on that front. If we can do one a month, that would be great. If it falls to one a quarter, that's okay. But again, we're going to try to add some content there where we can interview some interesting people, bring them onto the pod. So we're looking forward to that. Caden, before we close this, what do you got?
In the last 30 days,
Tweaker. Is this LeAngelo Ball, or who is this?
I don't know if this is right. No, I don't think this is right. No. It says in the past 30 days. I don't even think it's been out 30 days. It has been streamed for 51. No.
Here, I'll look it up on Spotify right now. Spotify gives you the number of... Okay, let's look this thing up. This is Tweaker.
3 million, I think.
All right, let's see.
3 million streams.
All right. G3 Jello? So he's calling himself Jello?
I think so.
Oh, that's... I'm playing it. I don't want to play it. All right. Let's hear this thing. It's not showing me the number of streams. There it is. Okay, pause that and bring it up. Okay, I don't have the streams. We'll report back later on that to see how much this song has been streamed. But that is it for the pod. 3 million, I think, already. I'll look it up. I want to see it on Spotify because that's usually a pretty good gauge on things. Remember to like us, follow us, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your pods. We literally just came down and threw this thing together last minute, so we appreciate you guys very much for listening. Caden and I, we're heading to the United Center tomorrow with our friends. We are looking forward to watching the Bulls crush the Wizards. We will have a report back on that. The Bulls have been fairly exciting to watch, but they are a 500 team. That's probably not going to change. They might make the play-in. Hey, I think they were six last I looked. So
six?
I think so. The East is a little bit weak.
I saw they were 10.
Maybe I'm wrong. Oh, were they? Maybe I looked at the wrong thing. Anyway, that's where we're going to be. So we're glad to get down to the UC a few times a year. We're going to do it. We're trying to catch a win here. That's why I booked the Wizards.
You're always 3. Yeah, I'm not sure where you said 6.
I don't know. 10. I don't know. Maybe when they were 5, when they almost got to 500, are they close? What's the deal?
They're 10.
I mean, but who's sick? What's the record of the sixth place team?
The Pacers. They're 20-18.
And what's the Bulls' record?
17-20.
Okay, so they're not completely out of being able to make an actual playoff spot. The East is kind of weak there.
The East is stacked. They got the Celtics, Cavs, and Knicks.
At the top, man. The Cavs took out OKC last night, man. The Cavs are looking strong. The Cavs are deep.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell didn't even play a good game last night, and they beat OKC. And right now, SGA is right there with Jokic for the MVP. And Giannis needs to be in that discussion as well.
The East is a better top than the West.
I think we'll be going much heavier NBA once this NFL season runs down. Because the NFL, when you got the playoffs and you got the regular season, you only get the games on Sunday and Monday and so forth. It's just so easy to talk about it. But we'll go some more heavy NBA once the NFL season winds down, and even probably these next few pods is they're just you're only getting less and less NFL content. So I'm glad we were able to put this one together. We'll get it up for you as soon as possible. Happy New Year, everybody. Have a great night.